Happy Sunday and welcome to another amazing edition of Sunday Conversation, establishing effective communication through spiritual growth. My name is Gerald G. Rat Riley, and unfortunately, my beautiful, my wife, Katasha Riley, she couldn't be here today. She is at home, hopefully cooking me dinner. Amen. Hey, listen, we are broadcasting from Columbus, Georgia, all the way to Eufaula, Alabama, and surrounding areas. I'm so excited today. I have one of my customers, Dr. Blind, in the studio with me today. Dr. Blind, please say something for the listening audience.
Good evening. Thanks for having me here.
Awesome. That is awesome. Now, today's Sunday conversation is entitled Affirmative Action Edition. I'm going to say that again. Today's Sunday conversation is entitled Affirmative Action Edition. And the reason why we chose this title is because what recently happened pertaining to Supreme Court. And my friend, Dr. Blind, I know him from the barbershop. He is here to drop some knowledge on us today. So I thank you, Dr. Blind. Dr. Blind, yes, what have you been up to?
Just working hard in the community. My wife and I, we have a program that we assist young men and women, the ages 18 to 21, by providing extended services so we can get them prepared for adulthood.
Oh, awesome. Now, my first question, Dr. Blind, what is affirmative action?
Affirmative action was created to level the playing field for underprivileged individuals based on race, gender, sexual orientation.
Now, why was it used to level the playing field? Because, you know, we have the young people, the millennials out here listening. They might not understand that at one time in society, the playing field was not level.
That is correct. So let's go back. In 1935, you have the Wagner Act, which is the premise for establishing affirmative action. Well, it was actually implemented in 1961. By JFK. So I guess it was identified that people of color, mainly blacks and slave origin, were not given the same opportunities as their counterparts. So they felt was a need to actually implement a program that will benefit those who were underserved.
Awesome. We cannot be distracted out here, ladies and gentlemen. Just in case you're joining us for Sunday Conversation with the Rileys, I'm in the studio today with Dr. Blind, and we're talking about Affirmative Action Edition. Now, Dr. Blind, who is eligible for affirmative action?
Let me pause for a minute.
Go ahead and pause, my brother.
Affirmative action is eligible for people of color.
Okay.
All right. And it should... People of color should not be discriminated against because of their race, religion, or gender. So that's the premise of affirmative action.
Oh, awesome. So, you know, we live here deep in the South, deep in the Bible, but and that was something called the Civil Rights Movement. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our grandparents, some parents, and our great-great-grandparents, they fought and they lost their lives for a right for us to vote, for a right for us to have an education.
Correct.
For a lot of great things. And so we really need to pay attention to what the Supreme Court is doing, what's going on in our school systems, what's going on in the world around us. And so I thank you, Dr. Blind, for coming in, shedding light on us with a couple of things. Now, Dr. Blind, what is the largest group of Americans that are eligible for affirmative action?
The largest group of individuals eligible for affirmative action are women, particularly white women. There was a labor report done in 1995 that actually did a study, and they found that only 5 million of minorities actually benefited from affirmative action. On the other hand, it was 6 million that actually benefited white women in the workplace.
Awesome. Now, you said minorities. Could you explain to our listening audience what exactly, just in case they might not understand, what exactly is a minority?
a minority is anyone that actually is based on gender. And in this situation, it would be women. Those that based on the, excuse me, minority is actually based on gender-based as far as women is concerned, and actually weighs those of people of color.
Awesome. No problem. Now, just in case you've been living under a rock, the Supreme Court has just abolished affirmative action as pertaining to college acceptance, I believe.
Yes.
Or something like that.
At Harvard.
Okay. Now, what does that mean to you? And what does that mean for the Afro-American society, in your opinion?
Well, for me, I think it's a loss for the predominantly white institution, your private institution, because now you're losing an element that can actually bring something different, diversity, to that particular university and your predominantly white institutions. So now what I think what's going to happen, if they don't find a diversified approach to incorporate people of minority into those institutions, they're going to gravitate back to their roots, which are the historical black colleges and universities.
Awesome. So do you believe that would change the number, per se, of Afro-Americans going to the Power Five schools?
Yes, if they don't have some type of diverse plan in place, it will.
Oh, awesome. Now, Doc, how has education helped you? Because you really have to educate yourself on what's going on in this world. And when I say education, I'm not necessarily talking about a college degree. I'm talking about educating yourself on what's going on around you and not being distracted by a chicken sandwich or what somebody had on.
Right.
At an award show.
Right.
Okay, educate yourself. Pay attention.
Right. So, you know, it's part of self-evolving. However, when you begin a family structure, you start mm-hmm. having a wife and kids, you want to be informative so you can better educate them. So it's best for you to go out and do your research, obtain as much knowledge you possibly can so you can provide guidance to your children. And even my kids in my program, I don't want to go out there and just tell them, okay, don't do X, Y, Z because don't do X, Y, and Z. So you want to have a foundation on what, why you're telling them not to do certain things and things to look out for. So pretty much family structure, community structure, being involved in the community, you pick up a lot of knowledge, you pick up a lot of experience. So the things that you put in your kit bag, you're able to pull it out and give it to others.
I love it. You know, I don't know if I listen, or as a lot of people go to church, but a lot of times the pastor will tell you that even after he has preached a good sermon and gave a good word, he would tell you, go home and find out for yourself.
Right.
And so we're here in the studio today because we want you to find out for yourself. There's a lot going on in this world that you need to pay attention to. And this thing the Supreme Court has just passed, this affirmative action edition, mm-hmm. Sunday Conversation with Riley, is important. And I thank God that we have Dr. Blind in here mm-hmm. talking to us about that. Now, Doc, where does your passion, because I mentioned you mentioned that you talk to your kids mm-hmm. in your program about certain things. So where does your passion comes from to give back and to mentor in your own community?
Well, you know, it comes from being younger, being your past, your environment, what you grew up in. I come from a single family home. I'm the oldest out of five. Government assistance, living on public housing, government projects. So when you visualize where you come from, you don't want to go back there. All right? And so once you get out of that environment, you want to go back and you want to help community, wherever you are. I'm not originally from Columbus, Georgia area, but I made a commitment to myself. Wherever I go, I'm going to reach back and help as many as I can, just based on the circumstances that I had growing up.
You know, I love that, man. I often say on the show that exposure expands.
That's right.
It expands your mindset. And I also said that I never seen a man steal something that he never seen before.
That's right.
And so a lot of times when you're around people or a situation that you never seen before, it inspires you to go and be and do something different.
Right.
You know, so I thank God for you for that. But you also have a responsibility yourself to find out the truth. People can tell you, you know, the moon is made out of cheese.
Right.
But you can go online or a dictionary and find out otherwise.
Right.
And so, yeah, you can listen to wise counsel, but you need to also find out what's going on for yourself.
And I think that's part of why we have a lot of at-risk youth, because they don't see anything different within their respective communities. So if you take them out those communities and show them that there's stuff outside the east side or the south side of your city, they'll do different. You know, they see something different and they know that, hey, it's life after all this stuff here. I'm still young. I got an opportunity to make change in myself so I can gravitate from where I am to something better if I put my mind to it and just try to ignore what's going on around me.
Hey, it is important to listen. There are all types of different education out there.
Right.
And so, Dr. Blind, back to Affirmative Action Edition with Sunday Conversation with the Rileys. Do you believe what the Supreme Court just passed, do you believe it will have echoing effects in the Afro-American community?
I think it will. And it'll probably open up a lot of eyes in the African-American community. And more so, there's new legislation that's coming out that's going to try to hit these institutions in their pockets. So the endowments that they receive, just remind you that the endowment they receive come from wealthy families.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the actual students in these institutions are legacy, meaning that their parents attend those schools and they may make huge donations to these schools. So what legislation is coming out, and you know legislation is slow, mm-hmm. very slow. So they're trying to put a fee on the endowment money that they receive, take it out of that endowment fund, and give it to community schools.
Well, now, what is an endowment fund?
An endowment fund is like a chess box, if you will, where people donate to the schools, and they put all this money in this coffer, and they award scholarships and things like that towards tuition, room and board, et cetera.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Now, my next question, Dr. Blind, why should we pay close attention to what's happening locally / nationally pertaining to laws?
For one, we're not in that top percent, all right, when it comes to wealth, all right? So in order to be more effective or have more effect on the government, we have to start at the grassroots levels. That's at your local level, state level, you know, so you can have a better impact, because these are the people that we put in the office to work for us. So we have to touch them. And if we don't support what their ideology is, then, you know, they have to come back and reach back to us for support. And we are the voters. We put these people in office. So at the local and state level, that's where we need to make our most greatest impact far as officials, political officials goes.
Awesome. Listen, just in case you're joining us today for Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, we're in a studio with Dr. Blind. And today's Sunday Conversation is entitled Affirmative Action Edition. And we're talking about a lot of great stuff going on, man. And, you know, people, I have to drive home this point, man. A lot of people, a lot of grandmothers and granddaddies, man, were beaten. They were hosed. They were bit by dogs. Some even killed for your right to do a lot of things that some of us take for granted. And so I really want you to pay attention to what we're talking about today. I want you to educate yourself on what we're talking about today, because it even matters on a local level. Amen. Amen, amen, church. Now, Dr. Blind, what advice would you give a young 18-year-old high school graduate? Hypothetically, let's go back. And before you were Dr. Blind, mm-hmm. and you just graduated high school, mm-hmm. what advice would you give that young man or that young woman?
First of all, I would recommend that they listen to their guardians, their parents, for direction, and remain disciplined, because with discipline, everything evolves from discipline. So if you set goals, you set standards, you know, you're going to deviate every once in a while. It happens. But make sure you get back on course and stay true to yourself. Because I tell my kids that, you know, it's a lot of people that come in your life for a particular reason or a particular season. And for the most part, if you try to, you know, surround yourself with people with like attainments, like-minded, you should be okay. But at the end of the day, you still have to remain disciplined and do what's best for you.
Awesome. Now, you said discipline. What advice would you tell a young man or a young woman pertaining to peer pressure? Because peer pressure in today's society is a lot
different.
I think I might be older than you, Dr. Blind. But peer pressure in today's society is a lot different than peer pressure in when I was young.
Right.
But see, I had a mother and a father.
Right.
And I tell everybody, man, my father looked literally like a silverback gorilla.
Right.
And so peer pressure was different for me because I didn't care what my boys was doing on the block.
Right.
I had a silverback gorilla that was old school and didn't play.
Right.
So I feared and respected my father more than I feared or respected the fellas or the peer pressure that was going on out here.
Right.
And so what would you tell a young man or young woman pertaining to peer pressure? Because you deal with youth.
Right.
And so you kind of understand what they're going through and what's out here, what's the challenges they have out here.
Right. So, you know, back in our day, it's probably more peer pressure. But nowadays, it's more of a peer influence.
Okay.
You know? So now you have different platforms that kids can go on, social media, and they get these different influences, if you will. And for the most part, you know, you have a family, you had a father, you know, and most of these kids don't have that structure. They don't have that family structure. Most of them come from family, single parents. Most of the kids in my program are homeless. They don't have mom and dads.
Right.
So peer pressure / peer influence is much greater within our community, within the younger youth today than back in our days. Because even though we didn't have a father in the house, we had that male figure, whether it's a teacher in high school, we had a football coach, a basketball coach. We had someone that will pull us by our shirt tails, you know. But nowadays, kids don't have that, you know. They're more focused on emulating what they see within their environment and on social media.
Awesome. So I came from my mom and dad were together 40 plus years before my father passed.
Mm-hmm.
And so my path was different. Mm-hmm. My education in life was different. You came from a single parent home.
Correct.
What are some of the, because I don't know what the challenges are in a single parent home.
Mm.
That silverback was there every day.
Right.
So what are some of the challenges that you face coming from a single parent home? Because those same challenges that you face, some of these other children that come from single parents home are also facing the same challenges, but yet you pulled yourself up by the bootstrings.
Right. It wasn't that easy, but I did. I know I won't say I wasn't a problem child.
Right.
But I think I was faced with more resentment by not having a father in the house. And being the oldest, I was the man in the house. So I had to do what I had to do for my family. And it put a lot of pressure on you, you know what I mean? And I think the kids nowadays, they're going through that same pressure moment where they have to provide for the family. You know, you don't know how your mom's going to pay bills. You don't know the food stamps. And that's when we had the books then.
I know about the books. Yeah.
You don't know if it's going to get there on time so you can get some food on the table.
Yeah.
So all those things you have to be faced with. And being the oldest child out of five is hard. and you get faced with all these different challenges, and you don't know what to do. So you go out to the streets, and you ask people, you know, what can I do to make X amount of dollars so I can provide for my family? I need to go cut some grass, wash car. Sometimes right. you're going to get some good advice. Sometimes you're going to get the bad advice. Right. So at that time, you know, you have to determine what's going to be best for you.
And so, awesome.
And sometimes these young men and women just make the wrong choice and wrong decision.
Awesome. Just in case you're joining us today for Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, we're in the studio today with Dr. Blind, and we're talking about affirmative action addition. Dr. Blind, when I grew up, we really didn't have much. So, you know, we caught the bus, mm-hmm. government cheese, mm-hmm. food stamps, mm-hmm. Borrowing eggs from the next door neighbor, right. borrowing butter, milk from the next door neighbor, mm-hmm. and all that other stuff. And it made me a certain way. Mm-hmm. It made me a certain way growing up. Mm-hmm. It made me care about people who didn't have as much as I did. And so as an adult, I remember I was 12 years old, and I'm standing at the bus stop. And I'm standing at the bus stop in Pensacola, Florida.
Right.
Man, it gets hot right. in Pensacola, Florida. Mm-hmm. And man, that sun was beating down on my head, and I was mad.
Right.
I was hot. I was mad mm-hmm. because I had to stand at the bus stop because my mom and dad didn't have a car to take me to practice.
Right.
So I had to catch the bus mm-hmm. to practice. And I promised myself, when I became an adult, my son would never have to catch the bus. I will always have a car with AC.
Right.
I promised myself that at 12 years old.
Right.
And I kept that promise. And as an adult, it always made me want to reach back mm-hmm. and help those who didn't have as much as I did.
Right.
And so I have a heart for my community. Mm-hmm. I'm not from Columbus, Georgia, but Columbus, right. Georgia is my community.
Right.
And so I have a heart for my community, mm-hmm. and I try to help as many people as I can mm-hmm. in my community. And I'm not a rich man, but I try to help
right.
as many people as I can in the community.
Right.
So that's where my passion comes from,
right.
from helping people in the community. Mm-hmm. Where does your passion come from? Because you do a lot.
Yeah.
You know, if I show you this guy's resume, you know, this guy does a lot.
Right.
And so where does your passion come from to do the things you do in the community?
It's kind of similar to you. I used to watch my mom in the projects. We are less fortunate, but
right.
she would get kids out the community. She
right.
would see them running around with dirty clothes, you know, nothing to eat. She would bring them into our home.
Yes.
Bathe them, wash their clothes, feed them. So as a child, you see these things. And when you're a child, you really don't understand.
Right.
I was a big Chewbacca fan, you know, Star Wars Chewbacca.
Right, right, right.
I had a Chewbacca shirt, right? So my mom, she brought a child in, washed him, bathed him, and put my shirt on him and sent him home.
Oh, no.
As a child, I'm mad as I don't know what. But
I'm 38
high. Right, right.
I'm 38 high.
But as you get older, you begin to understand what
right.
she did and what was her purpose. So that's where my passion comes from. Just seeing what my mom did within the community, having little. Now I have. I'm not rich like you, but whatever I can do to help someone, whether it's monetary, relational, whatever I can do, that's what I try to do.
Man, listen, you're an awesome man, Dr. Mm-hmm. Blind. Mm-hmm. In closing, Dr. Blind, is there anything that you would like to say or share with our listening audience that maybe we didn't cover today?
Yeah, something you mentioned earlier about political support, voting, things of that nature. We got to get out there and vote, you know. Mobilization is important. I saw a report not too long ago. It's like 13,000 people in one district, one particular district for a city councilman. But only out of that 13,000, 300 plus only voted, far as blacks. So we got to get out there. If you want to make a difference, you make the difference at the grassroots level, all right? Because these are the individuals who's going to affect your life within your respective community.
That's right, man. We have to educate ourselves, man. What's going on in our city locally. This has been Sunday Conversation with the Rileys. Peace.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.